I have 25 minutes to finish this sermon and only 3 pages to go through. And I praise God that somebody heard me speaking in Romanian recently. Who was that? It was in my office. Oh, Dennis. And he heard me speak with my normal speed, which is like maybe 4 times faster than English. So if you think I speak fast in English, think again. I will use my Romanian force or power to finish this message in time. Just kidding. But I do advise you drink a lot of coffee this morning. And this is not my fault. This is my mic doing crazy things, but I still love this mic. Dave, would you please pray for the Word of God this morning? Things. One, last week, those who are here received in the bulletin a copy of the Apostles' Creed. And I said we'll use that at communion just to remind ourselves of the foundations of our faith. Because of time constraint, I chose not to this week, but it'll come. That will come. And the second thing is, I really enjoy one of the things we've done through the summer, and that is to greet one another as we, take a break in the service. But again, because of time constraints, I chose not to this morning. But, look around and make a point that after the service, you go and greet someone you don't know, because this is part of building unity in the body of Christ. And it's also fun, too, for those who are not introvert. Okay, I had to say that. Good. This is a big word, the call. We just read the verses from Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul says that we should live a life worthy of the calling with which we have been called. So this word is mentioned in the scriptures, and we see it a lot, and it's been used sometimes almost like a mysterious call. There's a word in English called esoteric, which means something just for the chosen few. And some people, when they hear the Christian call, they think it's something like that, something mysterious, just for some people like the pastor or the elders or the missionaries. Only they are the ones who are called with that special big capital C. And my point today is that, as Paul writes in Ephesians, we are all called. We are all called to think ourselves differently. We're called to act differently. We're called to be something else, to live a life, like Paul says, worthy of that calling. And when you think of call, some things like, most, for example, Moses. Remember Moses' call? When he actually saw a burning bush. We'll see this a bit later. And it was a fantastic one. I did not get my calling that way. I was 23, 24 when God began to just poke at my heart. And it was in an environment of a youth group, of all things, a merging group from like 3 or 4 churches of all kinds, Baptist, Charismatic, Pentecostal, but we kind of came together, and that's where I felt God prodding at my heart and calling me. It was nothing fantastic, didn't have any visions, didn't see any burning fires. Well, there were fires, but not that kind of fires. And God confirmed that call through smaller things, like through my pastor saying, God has a plan for you, and let me tell you what the plan is. That was half a joke only. Or things like finding joy, true joy, in opening the Word of God and trying to understand and then explain to others. Small things like that confirmed my call over the years. Sometimes it's fantastic, like Moses's. Sometimes it's just God's speaking to you through things, through people, through circumstances of the church, in a way that convinces you that God has called you. There were other people like Jeremiah, who had God called him in a special way while he was still young and spoke to him in such a powerful way. Read Jeremiah chapter 1. Or Isaiah chapter 6, the call, where he says, here am I, send me. Isaiah, I think it's 6:8, if my memory helps me. That was a fantastic call. But my point is, although we have this in the scriptures, Jeremiah and Isaiah and Moses, that shouldn't be thought as the norm. That unless I get that kind of a call, I ain't called. So I'm okay with just sitting in and just doing nothing, because God didn't call me like he called Moses or Jeremiah. If we look today at this text, we'll see that sometimes calling is much simpler. Let's read this passage for today. It's Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. And I should open my Bible to Mark. Give me a second. Okay, Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. A much, much simpler call, although it came from the direct source. You know, there's nothing else like Christ saying, "Follow me." I know, I doubt anyone would actually even, able. But that call was definitely, was irresistible and was an amazing call. What were these people? He called, we see here only four, but we know he called the 12. What were these people? Were they special, highly trained, highly educated? No. We know they're ordinary, simple people. When God called me to be in the ministry, I was years away from being a mature Christian even, or being in a seminary, or having a Bible degree. I got my Bible degree in 2007. That's when I got my diploma. But I was in ministry since 95, you know, without having a college degree, you know. You actually can serve God without a college degree. Nick, he's not here. You know, I serve God as a pastor, not having a seminary degree. Why? Because although that helps, you know, it does help. School is good, kids. There's no kids here. But anyway, school is good, but it's not essential, because what you need is a love for God and a love for the Bible and a love for people. And these ordinary men, these simple people, will grow to become these mighty heroes of faith. Why? Because they loved God. They knew God's word just because God spoke to them, and they loved people. Ordinary men, simple people that were involved in a common and simple business. They were just fishermen, these guys. Someone was a tax collector, and so on and so forth. Didn't have like these fantastic jobs. They're just ordinary people. But these ordinary men changed the world upside down. In Acts, I think it's chapter 4, Christians are called and said, they have turned the world upside down. And it's not by the thousands, not by, you know, strength and might and money and power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the word of God, they turned the world upside down. 12 ordinary people. Don't think that much about who you are or what are you today. Because sometimes we just look at ourselves and think, I'm not called because I don't have school, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too this and that. And you just forget that it's not about you. It is about the God whom you serve. God can make you who he wants you to be, and God can work in you and through you. What are these guys doing? When God called them, were they like in a 3 days fast and prayer? Were they like in a special conference going away to wait God's call for them, you know, preparing your hearts for God's call? Were in seminary or 1 year Bible school or 5 months Bible school? That actually, hopefully, that will be used by God for confirming somebody's call. But it's not in that. What are this guy doing? They're just at work. Just one day doing laser tag or whatever they did, and God just worked. God came to them and called them. They were fishing or mending nets, actually it says here. Some of them were casting nets, some of them were fixing their nets. God just went and called them. And it reminds me of Prophet Amos. Amos says this. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, whatever his name is, "I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, just a guy. I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following my flock, the flock. And the Lord said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people, Israel.'" This prophet, Amos, was just called when he was, you know, caring for the sheep and for the sycamore trees. He was a simple guy doing a simple job, and God said, "Follow me." God said, "Prophesy for me." The call does not require that you be in a special place or be or do anything especially holy as activity. The call can come anytime and anywhere. And as I said before, the call has actually come to you. The second you said yes to the Lord and no to sin, God has given you a call. It's just that sometimes we don't know it, don't understand it, or it just hasn't been told to us. But God has a call for each and every one of you. And it will look differently. Dave James's call will not be the same as Roseanne's call or my call. We'll look differently, but we'll all serve the same God, and God can change this world through you. Jenny, God can change the world through you. No one is insignificant, untrained, or ill-equipped. God can and will use you, equip you, grow you, challenge you, encourage you, and send you wherever He needs you. What was the call? Simple. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Mark 1:17. The call was simple. Follow me. But me who? Why would they follow Jesus? Why was He so special that, you know, they would drop off their nets and just follow Him immediately? If you read the first verse, they dropped their nets and followed Him immediately. We don't see it here, but if you have your pens and you take notes, read Luke chapter 5 when you go home. In Luke chapter 5, the Bible explains or shows us, if you want, it's a very great image where Jesus was speaking to a fisherman. I mean, he was a carpenter, right? So he didn't have much of a fishing education. But he told the fisherman, which is Peter, go and cast your net. And Peter responds, Lord, we tried to fish all night long and nothing came. Not even a boat, not even a boot. Nothing. But at your word... And that was a great thing that Peter said. At your word, we'll do it. So they cast their nets, and how much fish they catch in that chapter 5 of Luke. So much that boats began to sink. They called people to help them, and their boats also began to sink of too much weight. And when Peter sees this fishing, what does he do? He falls down on his face and says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Peter realized he was in the presence of something so much bigger than him. As he drew near to Christ and saw His glory, he saw his sinfulness too. And he was broken. He wasn't like, oh, whatever. No, he was just broken. And then God said, through Jesus, Jesus said actually to Peter, follow me. I mean, why wouldn't you? How couldn't you when you know whom you follow? You don't follow just an idea, a theory, a distant God, or whatever other words you may find. You follow the living, powerful God of this universe who knows you and cares for you and wants to use you. That's whom you follow. But where do we follow Him? Do we follow to a class? Sorry, Dennis. Classes are good. Classes are not bad. But it was not about becoming a theologian, although theology is good. I keep saying this. Was he called to a philosophical debate? You know, go and challenge, you know, the biggest atheists of this world and debate with them at the mind level. No, that's good too, but that was not the call. The call was actually to become a disciple. It was a call to a radical discipleship. It was called to become something else that we were before, to give up everything that was before and start a new life. A transformed life through Him. A new life starts from that point when you say, Lord, take my life. And that rearranges your priorities, rearranges your values, the way you use your time and your money, the friends you make, the things you do. Everything is changed when you choose to answer God's call to follow Him. And then, as they followed Christ, they morphed, they changed. They became something else that they were not before. If you look at Peter in Mark 1, and then you read 1 Peter, the letter, first letter of Peter, it's almost like a whole different person. You see similarities, but at the same time, you see the Peter changed by God. If you look at Peter in chapter 2 of Acts, it's so different than the Peter in Mark 15, the one who ran away from Christ. In chapter 2 of Acts, he's so bold, he says nothing. I mean, he didn't say this, but he actually did this. Nothing stopped him from preaching the word of God. Nothing. And he saw 3,000 souls, actually 3,000 men, he says there, being born again on that day. Why? Because as you say yes to God, God actually starts to change you. And you morph, you change, you transform as you walk with Him, as you follow Him. Faith plus obedience lead to transformation. I say it again. Faith plus obedience will lead to transformation. Now the question is, they're called to what? Are we called to what? It's simple. Do I have it here? No. They're called, oh, it's on the screen, sorry. They're called to become what? Fishers of men and women. We can add that, you know, just not guys and ladies. It's not a new image, actually. For them, it was not something new. God used this word, I will cast nets and bring you in as fish. In Jeremiah, actually, God uses this phrase. It was not fun. Jeremiah 16 speaks about God's punishment against a sinful nation and Him gathering the fish, the people, so He can punish them. But this is not it. The fisher of men of chapter 1 in Mark, of Luke chapter 5, or other passages, are people who are affecting the life of others in a radical way. Because fish, when they're fished by the fishermen, are changed, correct? Who's a fisherman here? I'm not. Dave, you fish. Does the fish change when you take the fish out of the water? Is the fish the same? No. It is radically affected. The life of the fish, once been fished, is fish the word? Must be. Funny, maybe not, but I make it up. Fish cannot continue as they were before. The fisherman affects the life of the fish. The old is dead, kind of like the fish that you fish, and then the new is brought to a new life, a different life. Make a note and read this whole passage at home, Romans chapter 6. I only put two verses on the screen, but it's for sake of time, but it's a whole amazing chapter about the new life in Christ. Read verses 7 and 11 from chapter 6 of Romans. For one who has died has been set free from sin. The death of the old brought freedom. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So the message of these people as fishermen, as fishers of men, was your life needs to be radically changed. And it's like death. It will feel like death because you die to the old, but you're born again to something so much more amazing. Remember the day when I prayed to Christ? Was in June 1993. Remember the day when I said to the Lord, take my sins. I need you. I want you. My life is empty without you. And then the joy of knowing that I'm God's son. And the joy of those around me. The tears of the lady who was in charge of the youth group that came and said, Adi, you are my brother as of today. And she cried of tears of joy. June of 1993. I will never forget those days. God has changed me. And I'm not the same guy as I used to be. I'm not. I've changed. Ask my kids. Ask my wife. I have changed. I'm so glad that my life is not the same. I'm dead to the old. Although I still struggle. I'm not perfect. Some of the sins of the past still haunt me. Some of the scars, I'm still struggling with getting over some of the scars of my youth. But God has changed me because I had been fished by some great man of God. And my life was never the same. So these men will have a compelling message. They don't know yet, but they will have a compelling message. They will have a powerful testimony. They don't yet, but they will have amazing testimony. And they will go through a radical transformation and will lead people to a radical transformation. What was the response to the call? Let me take some time to pray. We'll talk next year. Let me go to school for 5 years and then we'll talk. Let me talk to my mom. I don't know. I'm just making things up. No. It says there twice. Immediately they left their nets. Immediately they left their nets and they followed Jesus. And Mark, in his writing, he wants to underscore the force of the call of Jesus. This reaction that was immediate seems even out of the ordinary. But the voice of God calling you to become something else, that deep in yourself you know you want to be something else. Deep in your heart, you know you're not happy. And someone comes and says, follow me, and you will be transformed. You will be changed. You'll be something else. And you follow immediately. He chooses whom he wills. And his call is a commandment that leads to obedience. I like this verse in Psalms that is about God the Father, but applies so well to God the Son. Psalms 33, verse 9. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Kind of reminds me of the call, when these guys hear the call and just leave everything and follow him. When Christ speaks, things happen. When he speaks to you, even today, things happen. When his words touch your heart, you should not leave the same. And that is my prayer for every Sunday. I know I don't achieve that every Sunday, but where is that every Sunday you leave this place challenged to follow God and to obey him. What are usual responses? You know, when God calls us, what do we usually say? You know, are usually gripes or excuses or complaints or delays? Remind me of Moses. You know, Moses in chapter 3 of Exodus has a great, amazing encounter. You know, read just a couple of verses. God speaks to Moses and says these words, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? You know, God says, I will send you. I am sending you. And Moses says, who am I? You know, and that's a very, very typical question. When God says, or I say to people, I think God is calling you. And people respond, who am I? And that is a wrong response. Because the question is not who you are. The response that, take a note, go home, read Exodus 3 and 4. Lots of lecture for today. You have time. It's Sunday. God responds and says this, who you are is irrelevant. What matters is who I am, and I am sending you. That is what should be on your mind. Not who you are, but who sends you. And then Moses continues to kind of contend with God and says, but who are you that I would go for you? And God responds, I am Jehovah. I am God. I am worth going for. Then the third excuse that Moses says, what if they don't believe me? And God says, don't worry. You will be believed because they will see some miracles. But that's not enough. That's not the thing. They will believe your word in the end. They will know that I am God. A side note, I suppose it's a rabbit trail. Read Exodus 5:2 and then Exodus 7:5. In Exodus 5:2, Pharaoh says, who is this God of Moses that I should obey him? And God responds in Exodus 7:5 and shows him who God is. Fourth excuse of Moses is, I don't talk too good. Oh, actually, I can actually put this on the screen. I don't talk too good. My English is not that good. I don't know. I have not studied theology. I don't know all those words. You know, and God says what? I can talk through anyone. It's not yet happened, but God did actually talk through what's the word in English? It's not ass, it's donkey. Thank you, it was for donkey. God actually can talk through donkey. So he can talk through Moses too. And then in the end, Moses says, send someone else. And that's so typical. Send someone else. So many excuses. Yeah, that's a nice call, but let someone else do it. You know, not me, not today, not this year. I'm busy. All these excuses that Moses has in chapter 4 and 3 of Exodus are so common to us today. And my prayer is that we just stop doing this. Because God's call is irresistibly amazing. To follow him, to be transformed, to be used to change, to see this world changing around us. This is the same call back then, same call today, same call will be tomorrow. God can and will change this world through you. God can and will change this world through you. And my call to you and to me myself is this: be courageous. I want to be courageous for him. I want to dream big. I'm starting to dream bigger. You know, the more my stress is lowering with stuff like immigration and lawyers and crap like that, the more I'm free to dream and dream big for the Lord. Because you know what? We serve an amazingly big God. You can say great, same thing. We serve him. You know, I don't speak good English, but I'm okay. I can still do my job, I think, I hope. The second thing is, God can use you no matter where you are today. You may say, I'm not in the perfect spot. I'm insecure. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too sick. I'm too healthy. No, you probably wouldn't say that. But God can use you. All he needs is you to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. And he'll do the rest. And he'll show you your steps that you need to take. But all he needs to hear from you is, here am I. Send me. Because you've been called. You just have to realize that. And then he asks you to follow into his footsteps. And I heard this lady that just texted me saying, God is leading me, and my next project is to study the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I thought, I didn't want to dissuade or not encourage her to do that, but I thought, would that be the best thing that I could use my time, you know, to study the Dead Sea Scrolls? In the end, it's just the Old Testament, you know? Or somebody said, I want to study Aramaic. It's amazing. If you have a gift for tongues, for languages, go for it. But if you don't, is that the best use of your time? God is calling us to follow into his footsteps, to become like him, to just be obedient. That's all he calls. And then he'll tell you if you need, you know, Mike, if you need to study Aramaic, God will tell you. I hope not. I mean, you know what I mean. I hope you can use your time better than that. Because I don't study. I went to college. I've studied Greek 3 years and Hebrew 4 years. And I speak none of them. You know what? I'm happy. I'm okay. Because if I need to learn a Greek word, I can just go on the internet and just find out what that word means. You know, I don't need to study everything right now because I have tools. And my time goes to talking to you guys, writing emails, meeting with people, reading books, and becoming who God wants me to be. All I chose, actually, is this. I want to follow into his footsteps. And the last thing, God asks me and you to start living the life you're meant to live. I said last Sunday, or 2 Sundays ago, do not let the past define your future. God defines your future. Your life may be sucking right now. Well, is that good English? Your life may be not perfect right now, but that doesn't stop God from using you. Start living the life today. My wife signs her emails saying this. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Yeah, it's a cliche, I know. It's an amazing cliche because you can say, as of today, I want to be different. Yesterday, I did something amazing. I actually cleaned up my closet, my drawers. And I put some stuff to be given to, charities and stuff. But then I tried some old pants. And lo and behold, they did not fit me anymore. And I was upset because I liked those pants. And what did I do? I made a change. I said, as of today, I will make sure that I want to reach this weight that I want to reach, and I'm going to keep it for at least a month. Because I lost, 15 pounds in the spring, but by August, I had them all back, So I can start today to change. And I laugh about the weight because it's funny-ish, but it's about your heart and serving God. If sins have held you back so far, you can repent today and follow Christ. He will forgive you. I can guarantee that. If you think you're held down because of your sins that only you know, God says, if you confess them today, he will forgive them and he will cleanse you of all your iniquity, and you can start anew today with Christ. If you've waited for a special call, let me tell you this. God has given you already that call and said, you are my son or you are my daughter. You've got his call. All you need to know is to follow him. Ordinary men and women called by an extraordinary Savior with his irresistible calling. We are called to become disciples and to see this world changed through us, one person at a time. That is you. That is me. And I pray that we leave this place encouraged and challenged today. Challenged to answer to this call of God, his irresistibly amazing call that will change you and will change the world through you. Let's pray. 2 minutes over. Father, we thank you this morning that you have given us this call, Jesus Christ, to become your sons and daughters, to become disciples and to make disciples and to follow you. Lord, it sounds simple, but I know it's hard some days because we fight against our flesh, against our sins, against our past, against our present sometimes, and our fears overwhelm us. But I pray that we learn from Moses today and from Peter and from the apostles that, Lord, you can call anyone at any time. And as you call us, you transform us and you equip us and you challenge us. Lord, I pray that we make no more excuses and we choose to serve you fully, wholeheartedly, and with joy. May this be a new day. May this be the first day of a new life for each and every one of us today here. In your son's name I pray. Amen.